It's interesting. The question I raised last week is, what are you thankful for? What are things in your life that you're thankful for? And the first thing the statement says, the things that you take for granted, somebody else is praying for. When you look around the world, when you look at different things, just having electricity, just having power. Think about that. You are no longer living by candles. You know how much of a difference that is? You know, there's electricity. You have water. I mean, most of us don't wake up in the morning praying for water. Like, it's there. You turn on your faucet. You take a 45-minute warm shower. And so it's not something that you literally think about. But when was the last time you prayed and said, thank you, God, for water? Thank you, God, for this. And so, but there's certain people around the world who are literally saying, we don't thank the Lord for the things that somebody else is praying for. And so we need to remember our blessings. One of the things I talked about last week is saying, I had an aha moment a few years ago. And I was reading this scripture verse. It says in Matthew 19:24. And it says, again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. And here's my aha moment. As I read that, I kind of just skipped over it. I'm like, is there certain verses you're like, that doesn't apply to me. That's not me at all. And then it started hitting me. Within a few days, I started realizing different things about our culture, because here's what I realized. We judge our lives based upon the people we're closest to, the people we work with, or our neighbors. And now we judge our lives based upon our Facebook posts and friends. And so we start looking at our lives, we start comparing. But what happens is we are comparing. If you are going to play that game, I don't recommend you do, because comparison kills compassion. But if you play that game, you're comparing the wrong things. Because we compare our things to our culture, but when you think about it this way, when you listen to the stats around the world, not just in the States, you are considered rich. Think about this. Here's an awareness for you. America compared to the world, is not that big. But 40% of the people live off, in the world, $2 a day. 15% of the people live off less than $1 a day. The average American income, average, is $38,000 a year. Now think about this. This is the aha moment for me. If you have a closet, if you have spare change somewhere in your house, if you have clean water, a vehicle, and a TV, and electricity, you're the top 8% richest person in the world. And that's, to me, when I read this, when you think of someone who's rich, they're the top 10%. They're the top 10%. And I read the scripture verse that says it's easier for a rich person. Is saying, literally, what the verse is saying is saying, we are rich. Perspectively, the fact that we came here in a vehicle, that we didn't have to walk, you know what I'm saying, 10 miles to get to church, we are. And that's not something to go, oh, I'm bad. It's something to say, we need to be grateful. That we need to say, listen, I've been given a lot. And so it's interesting. Luke 17, 11 through 17, it says this. 10 healed of leprosy. Jesus healed 10 leper people, 10 people with leprosy. He heals them. And at the very end, it says this. Jesus asked him, where are they at? Because only one came back. Only one came back. And he says, "Where? They're not 10 lepers cleaned. Where are the other ones? And he says, only nine. One came back of the nine. And Jesus is even saying, didn't I heal 10? Where are the other ones at? And he says, I'm here. And Jesus says, I know you're here, but where are the other ones at? Because we forget about gratitude. Andy Stanley, a great preacher, says this, unexpressed gratitude is actually ingratitude. Gratitude needs to be expressed. This is even with worship. Worship is expressed. Feeling gratitude is an expression. Gratitude always speaks up. And so this is what we talked about last week, is saying we need to be grateful because we are blessed. I'm blessed to be a blessing means we first have to understand that we are blessed. We are the top 8%. But it's not just what we have. It's what God has done, what makes us rich. You got to hear me out. It's the grace and the love and the mercy and forgiveness and the blood that covers sins that makes us rich. Amen. And this is what happens. God gave his son for us. God gave, you know what I'm saying? And so this is what makes us rich. Having family, having friends, this makes us rich. But these things, it's not just things, it's what God has done. But today we go from I'm blessed to saying, how do we be a blessing? How might it be a blessing? And I love this. Genesis 12, 2 through 3 says this. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. He's saying this to Moses. He says, you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I'll curse, and all the people of the earth will be blessed through you. He's saying this to the people of Israel, saying, you will be a blessing. I'm telling you, as Christians, we are called to be a blessing. We are called to do this. We are called to bless others. My mentor, Calvin Olson, when I would pray with him, I love this. Every once in a while, if he didn't know what to pray, I can just hear him over his lips saying, others, Lord, others, others. Don't let it be about me, it's about others. And he's always saying, Lord, how can we bless others? How can we love others? So here's what I love. This is what I love about our church. You guys. I love what the Lord is doing, and I love you guys. But I want to show some pictures because I think we tend to forget how God has asked us to be a blessing over the past few years. And it, you know what I'm saying? How God has blessed said this past year. So picture number one is this. Twinkle Day party last year. Think about that. This is coming up again December 1st on a Saturday downtown Stillwater. I'm telling you, here's how it happens. When we first got involved with this, it was the coldest day of the year that we served. We had about 30 people show up for volunteers from our church, and they had about 350 people show up to downtown Stillwater, and it was probably negative 20, was it not negative degrees when we were that day? Like, we were shivering. We did this whole Twinkle Day party. We just served. The businesses downtown put it on, and literally, they had 3 volunteers, and we had 30-some. This is, and I'm telling you, over the years, it has grown. Last year, I think there was 2,200 people that showed up, and we had 65 volunteers. And I'm telling you, it is fun. And they just want to bless the community. We just say, hey, we'll bring the people, and they provide the hot cocoa. They provide the lights to give every kid. Santa Claus shows up on fire trucks. They light the Christmas tree. There's fireworks. And here's what's cool. People thank us because they think we put it on. Dude, we just show up. We just show up and love and add value, but it's one of our favorite traditions, one of our favorite events. And then, you know what I'm saying, last year we talked about this, a missionary blessing. We adopted last year the France, and we did a missionary blessing. Last year we did Operation Christmas Child. How many boxes did we do last year? What? 97. Think about that. How awesome is that we're buying gifts for 97 kids around the world? And the other things we've done is stuff like this. Jim Boo's not here today, but a few years ago, we started a thing called Sticks in Stillwater. And so we decided, here's how this happened. About 3 or 4 years ago, I was talking to some chamber commerce people and different things, and like, we really, after the holidays, Stillwater kind of takes a dip. Like, nobody comes to downtown, hotels aren't, you know. And my thought was, with Jim was one day, I said, wouldn't it be cool if we did something to put heads in beds? Like, wouldn't it be cool? We don't need to preach, but what if we just brought people to the community and help all these businesses out for one weekend? Can I tell you, this will be our fourth Sticks in Stillwater, I think. And every single time we have done this, we've sold out every hotel room in Stillwater, Minnesota. And so we just put on this hockey festival that literally last year we had 68 teams from Minnesota, Wisconsin, North Dakota, and South Dakota. Listen, can I just tell you, awesome? God works in mysterious ways because I can't even skate. I don't play hockey, but there's people here that love hockey. And listen, any way we can bless the community, we're going to do it again this year. You know what I'm saying? Any way we can do it, we're going to do it again in January. And so we're putting it together right now. So that's another way we can bless. Healing Haiti, missions trips. Think about this. El Salvador and Healing Haiti. Every year, we go on 2 mission trips, Haiti and we go to El Salvador. And Haiti, I've been down there a couple times myself, great mission trip. El Salvador, our church, our very first year, planted a church in El Salvador, and we go down and visit this church. There's a pastor, and now they want to start doing church plants themselves. And so it's cool to see that God is moving with that way too. Pastor's appreciation. From the bottom of my heart, this is one of my favorite pictures I've ever seen. If you could put that picture up, this is one of my favorite. I seriously, it's on my computer, it's on my phone. if you weren't here, this is our fifth birthday, and without my wife and I's knowledge, we give all of our offering away on our birthday. And we had people here, we were giving money away to different organizations and different things. And without us even knowing, you guys have been planning, you and the staff have been planning to bless my wife and I that morning. You guys even blessed us that morning. And I'm telling you, this is just me being honest. It did healing in my heart. Again, I look at this picture, and you guys are a blessing to us. And not only that, we do different things. Being in a school has provided opportunities for us. We bless, there's parent-teacher conferences in the school, and we provide the meals for the teachers for parent-teacher conferences. And a lot of weeks, I come in and bring treats in for the secretaries in this school. And not only that, even this week, once a month, the school district, all the principals and the superintendent and different people come to our hub once a month and do all their leadership time at our Watermark Hub, and we give it to them for free. And they're coming this Wednesday even. What's cool about that is that we just called to be a blessing. We got this building from a church that's joined us, and now we can bless other people with it. One of my favorite things we did this past year was we grilled out for the police and the fire department in the summertime. And some of you were there, and it was during a crazy time for them. And we just showed up, and we just grilled out. We just invited them all to show up, and we just grilled out for the police and fire department. And then, remember this, one of my favorite events of the year, Cub Foods. Come on, raise your hand if you're Cub Foods grilling on that hot day. Think about this. We literally packed groceries. We had so many volunteers there, we had to create jobs. People were literally pushing carts out. People were bagging groceries. We had Wally the Watermark water drip there. You know, we had two different people in there because they were sweating so bad. It was so nasty. And so, but it's cool to think that you guys served and blessed the community and gave back. What I want to say here, I'm just going to say a few more things. We even sent kids downtown Stillwater. Is there a picture of that, Gabe? I think downtown Stillwater. That same week in our blessing week, we actually sent, we built our Gaga Pit downtown. We gave out balloons and treats, and we actually played games downtown by the river. How awesome is that? The youth group put that on. And so it's a really cool thing. I'm just going to share a couple things that I just want us, I believe is important because I love it. When we are called to be a blessing, people start getting it and start doing their own thing. People start going, I want to do that, I want to do that. Missions with Ben and Nicole and the youth. Last year, you guys did a pie in the face, and somebody hit me with a pie in the face right in the nose. Remember that? Yes? Right in the nose. And kids raise money for missions. But what I love is different things. He's going to hate me sharing this, but here we go. Mike Ripley. Ripley's, if you guys, Mike, can you just say hi? There he is right there. He hates this. But here we go. I asked him if I can share this, and he grudgingly didn't say yes, but I'm going to share it anyway. Because I think this is so important for the heartbeat of the church for people to do stuff. We had one of the funnest teams went to El Salvador with us this year, and we built this kids' swing set. It was just awesome. If you can go back to that picture, Gabe, the swing set we built on this mission trip. And it's at our church. We actually helped lay concrete in the kids' church area, and we wanted to build a swing set that's like culture. We use their wood, and we poured concrete like they did, with shovels, and it was like a lot of work, but we built this thing, and while we're down there, our missionary friend started giving us saying, hey, I want to do a mini orphanage in this village for these kids. I want to buy land, and at that time, he had some money, but not all of it. He goes, I want to buy some land, and I want to build an orphanage, and so and he was here last year. For our missionary blessing, we actually give him some money to buy an orphanage. You know what I'm saying? So you guys bless him with money for his orphanage. And Mike came back and just had a heart for this, and he started writing letters to all of his friends around the lake and different things, right? And is that how it happened? He just started writing out letters. And last week, a check was sent down to Jonathan for over $17,000. Think about that. I just want to... The reason this is important, listen, the reason this is important is that 6:30 in the morning on Friday morning, then Jonathan texted me about 6:15. I was doing my devotions, of course, wrapped up in my blanket, doing my devotions. And he texted me and goes, are you up? And I said, sure, yeah. So he called me right away. He goes, what is going on? Like, he almost sounded like mad. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, I opened up my mail because I just got back home and I saw a check. And he goes, what is this for? And I told him the whole story, and I told him what's this going on. And I just said, it's not, you know what I'm saying, they were just raising money. And he goes, this is what he said, you understand that this covers the rest of the price of the land. I'm going to go buy it in the next few weeks. So he goes, we can buy the property now. And I just want to say, this is what's so cool about this, is that literally people are just saying, hey, let's get behind this and do something about it. I love it. Last year, there was a people who did a church plant in Columbia Heights, Minnesota, and actually cousins of Marissa and Gabe, and they did this church plant, but it was also a dance studio, and they had this little room, and literally, they had no place to put the kids except for this like room that was not a closet, but it was like a storage area, pretty broken. And like five guys from our church went and built them a kids area, put carpet in, put new walls in, painted it, everything, so they can do kids church in there every single week. And listen, these aren't things that we say every week, we got to do this, do this, do this. But can I just tell you right now, before I even preach, this is what gets me going. Is that isn't just something that we talk about, it's something that you guys are. It's something that we're growing into. And it's something, and I just want to say this. This is why next week, missionary blessing is a big deal. Twinkle Day party coming up is a big deal. We bless people for Christmas, families for Christmas. And so I'm going to give you a few points as we jump into this. It's just saying, how can I be a blessing? And not just in our community, but the people around you. How can I be a blessing? Number one is this, give what you got. You know, I'm talking about finances and raising money and all this kind of stuff and different things, but here's the deal. Can I just tell you, most of the time, being a blessing doesn't involve finances. Most of the time, it involves your words. It involves your, eye contact. It involves somebody else. That means we all got something we can give. That means, like I said, we can listen to somebody's struggles. We can give our time. We can share love. We can offer mercy. We can offer a smile. We can buy somebody's coffee. We can do something. Can I just tell you, I had a friend in high school who literally, she was an amazing writer, and she would literally write notes for, she would write passage of scripture, and she would write notes for her friends and different people that she would see in the hallway that God would impress upon her. She would write a note, and she would slip it in her locker, and just as an encouraging word, and that's what she would do. There's different people that have ideas to say, how can I be a blessing? And so I love the verse in scripture when Jesus and the disciples were going through from one place to another, and they came upon a crowd of 5,000 people. And it says that one of the disciples went to Jesus and says, we need to feed these people. It's getting dark out. And it says that it was 5,000 men, which that number doesn't include kids and women, which they probably say it's closer to 20,000, 15,000 to 20,000 people there. And they said, all we have is a few loaves and fishes. And you've heard me share this before. And they said, what are we going to use? And they didn't steal, but they asked for this kid's food that he was trying to bring home, the loaves and fishes. And they said, maybe we can start with this kid's food. That right there is a faith statement. I mean, you're trying to feed 20,000 people with two bags of groceries. I mean, right there is an act of, like, whoever thought about that, you know what I'm saying, that's a faith step when Jesus mentions this and starts going. So what happens is, it says that Jesus commanded the disciples, take these baskets, take some fish, take some bread, and start passing them out. Can you imagine that going, there's a few pieces in here. You want me to do what and go where and give them the who? This is, you see all these people? This won't even feed a family. He says, trust me. And it says that as they went, it says that everybody was fed until they were full and there was leftovers. What's fun about that, it says that they blessed, God says that they blessed, they prayed over, blessed it, broke it, and gave it. Blessed, broke, and gave, which is awesome. So they blessed the little they had, they blessed it, and then they broke the fish and handed them out and broke the bread and handed it out, and then they gave it away. And what I love about this story is this. It wasn't just Jesus reaching in and passing it out. He literally commissioned the disciples to say, you are going to be part of this miracle. Listen, the miracle was Jesus and God brought in the money and the friends and knocked on these people's heart. But he had someone like Mike and Julie honestly reach in the baskets and help start feeding us. How cool is that, that God, you know what I'm saying, Twinkle Day Party is not idea. It's not our idea. We didn't even buy the lights. But we're the ones who get to hand out the light bulbs. You know, it's not our idea. When we are doing Cub Foods, we're not the one who grounds the beef, and we're not the ones who do this. We buy it from Cub and give it away. But we're the one who hand out. We get to be part of the miracle. What's cool about it is that we are the ones who get to reach our hands in, and it's not just that God does a miracle, it's that he says, I want you to be part of the miracle. Mike, the thing about this is this. What if, they didn't do this, but what if the disciple says, honestly, because this is what a lot of us would think, this kid only has a few bags of groceries. I know us, the disciples here, this would feed us. So let's just take what we have and let's feed. Let's make sure we're fed before their 20,000 people are fed. So what would happen if they didn't even pass it out and they just kept it for themselves? The answer, they would have been fed, but not everybody else. But instead, think about this way. What they would have missed out on is there would have been no miracle. There would have been no, only them would have been fed. There would have been no this. And so here's the point I want to make is this. If we keep for ourselves what God has blessed, there is no multiplication. There is no going forth. The blessing principle is this. Little in the hands of Jesus becomes much. It becomes more. It means if we bless it and give it to the Lord, and we break it and give it out, the little that we have becomes much in his hands. The little that we have, when we give it away, becomes even much more. And this is what he's talking about with the widow's mite, who just gave a little bit, because she didn't give out of her abundance. She just gave out of the only thing she had left. It's not how much you give. It's just that you give what you got. You give what you have in your hand. And you're saying, I just have this. And so I just believe this in my heart. It's saying, what can we do? So here's my next thing I want to say is this, the challenge. I'm going to give you a challenge between now and Thanksgiving. Well, this is more of a challenge for the rest of your lives. But this is, I want to make this, make sure your point, between now and Thanksgiving. Challenge. Number one is this. I want you to figure out a way to bless 10 people. You might know someone in your life. I thought about this last night, and this is so true. You might know someone in your life that you just drives you nuts. All they do is talk, and you're like, I can't spend 20 minutes with that person. Think about the people that annoy you the most. Here's my question for you. God has put them in your life for some reason. Maybe God wants you just to be ear to them for 1 hour. Take them out for coffee. Just listen. It might be a long hour. But maybe what they need is just someone to listen. How can we bless 10 people? How can we do this? Maybe it's an email. Maybe it's somebody you haven't talked to for a long time. Maybe it's a face-to-face. Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's just a quick word of appreciation. I shared this last summer and I shared it again. If you think something positive of somebody, here's what I'm going to tell you. Say it right away. Now, if it's negative, don't say it at all. If it's something positive, even if it's something like, oh, I like your shoes, if you thought that, just say it. Why? Well, why are we holding back from saying good things? Hey, I like your sweater. Okay, that's cool. Thanks. That sounds weird. But what if, I don't want to be a person that holds back from saying good. What if we just start saying good? How can we, who can we bless? How many, you know, saying, who is a God put in our heart? Well, I want you to find ways to bless 10 people before Thanksgiving. And they might not even know about it, and that's totally fine. They don't have to know about it, but find ways to bless 10 people. Next one is this. I want you to praise, lift up, and not criticize. And I know some of you are always like, I'm never talking bad at people. I never do this. And I'm like, that's great. But some people have a habit of it. And what I want us to do is just saying, listen, let's say good, not bad. Let's speak life and not death. We need to praise more and criticize less. We need to speak more. We need to be people saying, listen, I want to be a blessing. What do I have to give? Listen, you know what you can give? Your words can be either be, hear me out, your words that you say can either be a blessing or they can be a burden. Listen, that is for some people. You might be somebody in your family, the words, or to your husband and wife, to your brother and sister, or whatever it may be, or your friends, your words, you choose to say, are my words going to be a blessing to that person, or my words going to be a burden that they have to carry? Is what I do going to free them up and feel them more powered, or am I going to feel weighty? Am I going to bring more weight in that person? Number two is this. This is a hard one. This is the one I think we struggle with. If you want to be a blessing, you need to know how to celebrate others. It's hard to be blessed when you cannot celebrate others when they are blessed. How true is that? when you can't celebrate others, and this comes in so many forms. When you're at a job and you've been waiting for that promotion, or you're waiting for that raise, or you're waiting for something, and the person gets it before you do. You know you should get it before them. Like, you understand, even your boss says you should get it first, but yet you're skipped over and somebody else gets it. The last thing you want to do is bless that person. You're just saying, listen, I can't celebrate with that. This is junk. Think about how many times in your life that you feel like you've been picked over. There's a reoccurring, I still think about it. When I was in third grade playing dodgeball in gym, and I was the last person picked. Anybody have those memories still that you remember standing against the wall, feeling that cold wall on your back, and realizing you're the last person picked? You still, listen, even when you think about it, when you feel like you're being shortchanged, you still go back to that third grader standing against the wall not being picked. Why am I not being picked? What's wrong with me? And so what happens is our defense walls come up, and instead of celebrating with that people, we start trying to figure out ways to say that they don't deserve it. But can I tell you this? How can you get blessed if you can't celebrate another person's blessing? Whether they deserve it or not, can I just tell you this? There's not a lot in this world that we deserve. We have this mentality like it's entitlement to us. Listen. Dude, it's grace of the Lord. It's not entitlement that we, and so it's interesting. Someone else's blessing should not, listen to this, somebody else's blessing should not be your burden. Should not be a burden that you carry. Like, why they get it, not me? It's hard to be focused on your blessings when you're staring at everybody else's. It's hard to be focused on the blessing that you have already been given when you're thinking about everybody else's. Why is this happening to them and not me? Why can they get this and I can't get this? It's hard to be focused and to remember what you have when you're constantly thinking about what everybody else has. And so we start criticizing. So I think this, when you celebrate others, God celebrates you. Can I just be honest with you? Even if you don't like it. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If somebody at your work that you despise gets a promotion, I'm not saying you need to go up there and clap in their face and pat them on the back and say, you deserved it, you're the best, and start lying about it. But you definitely don't need to be critical of it. You guys hear me out on this? We just need to learn to celebrate. I think one of the hardest people to learn to celebrate with, this is true, if you have siblings. When something good happens to your siblings, isn't it just competitive? Like, you're like, oh, of course, mom and dad like them more. You know what I'm saying? You have these mentalities like, you know what I'm saying, this always happens to them. All the good things always happen to them. This is always, and we listen, when people say to me, good things always happen to men and not me, I always want to say, can you just tell me about the good things in your life that has happened to you? Let's remind yourself of all the good things that God has done in your own life. You know what I'm saying? Let's remember these things. And so one of the things as a staff, if you are a person who is a leader and you're over people, can I just tell you this? The best thing you can ever do in leadership is this. What gets celebrated gets repeated. Celebrate people. If there's something you love, that you love to see in your workplace, celebrate it and it will be repeated. Last thing is this, last point. Number three is to be a blessing. We got to bless the Lord. I don't think we talk about this enough. Bless the Lord. I talked about this in scripture verse, bless the Lord, O my soul. Matthew 25, 40 through 45. I'm going to read this. It says, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. This is Jesus talking. Then he will say to those on the left and on the right, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not give me clothes. You did not clothe me. I was sick in prison. You did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and need not help you? When did this happen? Verse 45 says this. He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for the one of the least of these, you did not do for me. He didn't really just say, what you done for me. He pointed blank said, what you did not do for me. I think it's interesting as Christians, hear me out. We talk about sin, and one of the things the world talks about is saying sins are things that you're not supposed to do. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do, you're not supposed to do this, don't do this, don't do this. If you ask anybody that goes to church what is a sin, they're going to tell you things that we're not supposed to do. And like, what is a sin? Well, don't murder, don't do this, don't do this. And I'm not saying that's wrong, I don't agree with it. But in Scripture, it talks to us about two different kinds of sins. I hope this makes sense. There are sins of commission, and there are sins of omission. Now, if you're a parent, this is going to make total sense to you. So here we go. Sins of commission are sins, are things that we're not supposed to do. So if I ask you right now, anybody, and say, hey, what are some sins of commission that we're not supposed to do? You guys can give me a list in about 30 things in like 3 minutes. Of things, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. You know what I'm saying? Don't lie, don't cheat, don't do this, you know. In all sense. But if I say, what are sins of omission? Someone like, I don't really. Sins of omission, here's how it works. These are things you're not supposed to do. These are things that we're supposed to do that we don't do. People say, well, God doesn't like that either. No, parents don't like that either. Because here's the deal. As a parent, when you tell your kid, go clean your bedroom, and they don't do it, is that still wrong? It says, yeah, because that's wrong, because it's something that we're supposed to do that we don't do, because the sins of omission have to do with God's obedience for his people, saying, what do you call me to do? What do you ask me to do? And so when I start looking at this, my mentor, Calvin Olson, said it this way. He says, you only love Jesus Christ as much as the person you love the least. And if you want to love the Lord, you got to love the people that God loves. You got to love the people. So what Jesus is saying here, he says, what you do or don't do to others, you do or don't do to me. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, what you do or don't do, you're doing it to me. Whatever you do or don't do, whatever you're not doing. If we're walking by somebody in need and we don't do something, we're still not walking as a servant. It's not just that we're doing stuff, you know what I'm saying? It also affects us if we decide not to do something. And we say, listen, not today. I'm too busy. I'm not going to step there. I'm not going to help this person out. So we decide not to do it. But here's an interesting thing. It's the way you treat others typically is saying is the way we treat him. Because when I bless the Lord, think about it this way. When you bless others, you're blessing God. When you honor others, you're honoring the Lord. When you love others, you love the Lord. Psalm 103 says this, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, saying, I want to bless you. So what you are is God's gift to you, but what you do with yourself is God's gift from you. It's saying, listen, I want to make my life an instrument. I want to be a blessing to you. I want to live my life and do everything I'm called to do for your glory. Because when I live my life for his pleasure, for his blessing, that's what I'm called to do. Because when I bless and I love and I'm reaching down, I can love the Lord by loving other people. When I criticize and I pull down, I'm working against what God wants me to do. When I make my words not a blessing but a burden, I'm working against what God wants me to do in others. But he's literally saying, what you do or don't do for others, you do and don't do for me. He says, how are you blessing me? How are we blessing the Lord? And I love this because we bless the Lord with our worship and our speech. Bono, my wife and I were watching a music video a few years ago, and Bono from U2 gave a speech at this rally. It was one of the most amazing speeches I've ever heard. And I just wanted to read this to you. In front of thousands of people, this is what he said. True religion will not let us fall asleep in our comfort. Love thy neighbor is not a piece of advice. It's a command. Think about that. His truth is marching on. To those who sit in a pew in judgment, let me climb into your pulpit. God has a special place for the poor. The poor is where God lives. He is in the shattered lives. God is in the slums. God is in the affected mother. God is in the hurt, God is in the pain, God is in the poor, and it says God is with us when we are with them. This is how he closes. He goes, it's not a burden, it's an adventure. He goes, we need to love well. So I believe with all my heart, we need to stop looking for all the blessings. And we need to start by being a blessing. And ask yourself this question. Number one, always the first question is, Lord, how can I bless you today? How can I bless you today? Because if gratitude is expressed, if it's not, it's quiet. Listen, gratitude is expressed. This is why, I'll be honest with you, come to the worship team up here. This is why we worship, because worship is expressed. Because the songs that we sing are a reminder of who God is in our lives. It's a reminder of what God has done, and it's an expression. It's love is expressed. I worship. I lift my hands because I express my love. I want to give him honor. It's my words. It's saying, God, I honor you. I want to bless you. I want to give to you. And so with us, listen, even our own lives, saying, Lord, how can I be a blessing? How can I be a blessing to you? How can I bless you? How can I love more? How can I do this? And the question is this, am I being a blessing or am I become a burden? Now, I want you to think this through. I'm not saying every time you have a problem, you're a burden. We all have problems. We all have problems. People come to me all the time and say, well, I don't want to burden you, Pastor, but can I have it here? Listen, when you're being honest with me, it's not a burden. Listen, I want to hear what God is saying to you. If you're going through a trial or a struggle, listen, that's one of the reasons we're here, is to walk you through these seasons. We all, including me, we all have seasons of hardships. And so it's not a burden. I think God wants to take these burdens into blessings. God wants to transform these burdens into blessings. Interesting about it is saying this, but have you in some way in this past year or months, we talked about this a few weeks ago, have you created burdens? Have you, the things you said or the things or what have you done, has it created a burden or a blessing? It's interesting because I look at the trials in my own life and look at the things we've been through. I'm not naive to say that, listen, all my trials are blessings. That's pretty naive to say. Because in a little bit. Hear me out. Because they're not fun. Hardships are not fun. But I really believe that God is the author of taking a burden and making it into a blessing. God is in the business of taking a challenge and making it a triumph. That God is in the business of taking a trial, making it a triumph. God is in the business of making a disaster into a masterpiece. That God is in the business of making you into a pit into the palace. That God is in the business of taking your family of despair into a family who celebrates. God is in the business of taking you from a loneliness into a family of believers. God is in the business of taking you from the pit of finances to not just the palace, but a place of blessing. Can I just be honest with you? In our own hearts, we have got to first understand that we are blessed, not because of the things that we have, because if we, all we think about is those things that we have, those things can have us really fast. But the things that God has given us, that God wants to speak to us, that God wants to share with us, that God is because of the cross. Job, go back to Job again. He lost everything, his family, livestock. He survived himself, but everything else was gone. And he just said, God, where have you been? What are you doing? I'm down to nothing. And can I just tell you this? When you are down to nothing, that means God's up to something. And this is that God kept on working Job through and working on Job. And by the end of it, Job had stuff back. But it says at the very end, the reason stuff started coming back is because when he was down to nothing, here's what he said. God, I don't know what you're up to, but I'm still going to worship you and I'm still going to praise you. And God, this is what he said. You're still good. You're not fun. It's not always enjoyable, but you're good. you're good, and it's because of the grace and the love that I'm going to worship you. And I'm telling you, some of you here need to stand upon that, where you feel like the water's coming up and you feel like the ground is slipping, you feel like you're drowning. You need to stand up and say, God, no matter what happens to me in this job, in this existence, no matter what happens to me today or tomorrow, what happens to me with my family, no matter what happens to me, I will serve the Lord. I will worship you. You are good all the time. I'm going to stand here. It may not be fun. I may not like this, but I'm going to worship you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to worship you in the storm. Not in the storm. I don't care what it is. I'm going to worship you. And this is what I believe it changes in our hearts, that we have this mentality saying, listen, I don't want to be blessed. Lord, I want to be a blessing to you. You've already blessed me. Isn't that what it's all about? He's already blessed us. Your sins are forgiven. He's already blessed us. By grace alone, I am blessed. Everybody stand up this morning.